Let's go.
Well, welcome to this week's edition of the Don Cherry Grapevine Podcast. We were voted biggest and best by Apple in 2020, and we're sponsored by spreads.ca. And Dad, we made put a little bit of money on the Conor McGregor fight, and you called it last night. This is Sunday, so the McGregor fight was Saturday.
We had a long day yesterday, or I had a long day. I started with the first game,
at Vancouver, Montreal.
Yeah, and Montreal, and I'm glad I picked Montreal to end up first of all the Canadian division. They're on the road now. Of course, it doesn't make any difference at home.
Yeah,
they don't have a good record. They never had a good record at home.
No, they were terrible at home. They had the worst power play at home last year, and they had the third best power play on the road.
You know why? From my experience, I would say that as soon as thing goes wrong with the power play, they start booing. That's the only thing I can think of.
Well, I thought they were known for razzing their goalie.
Well, fast. That's another thing, too. Patrick Roy will tell you about that one.
Yeah.
Remember that day?
Oh, that was classic. What do you call that? The Bronx cheer?
What's the Bronx cheer?
Yeah.
They were playing Detroit, I think.
He'd play in Detroit, and he should have been pulled. I mean, he was just having a bad game. I mean, every goalie has a bad game.
So do you think the coach didn't pull him to make a point?
Oh, Mario Tremblay. And he was the coach. He was the leader in the dressing room, Patrick Roy. I mean, he knew how Whitney would. And I don't think Mario Tremblay liked it. And he left him in there. And you should have got him out of there. And soon as he put his hands up when the crowd, remember when the crowd
cheered when
cheered
he made him in the
seat. And he put his hands up. And he finally had to take him out. I mean, and I knew when he was coming out, he'd never play another game. I knew it. Because he's a proud guy. And then he got on the bench. Remember, he went right by and he went over. I forget who he
was.
Well,
there was the owners in the first row right behind the bench, wasn't there?
I forget the guy's name.
Was it Jeff Molson?
No, I don't think it was one of the Molsons. So I think it was a general manager. Anyhow, he went over and he says, I'll never play another game for the Montreal Canadiens. And then he goes to Colorado and he wins. How many cups he win? Two, anyhow.
Two, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he was fantastic goalie. He really was. Yeah. And... how did we get into that? At home, yeah.
Bronx cheer. Yeah.
So we watched that game last night, and then I don't think Vancouver didn't look very good. I don't know what's wrong with them. That's a lot of the questions when we were seeing the two questions we were getting. What's wrong with Edmonton and what's wrong with Vancouver?
Well, Vancouver's got a lot of injuries, and they just don't. Boy, I like to talk positive all the time. I talk about Montreal. Yeah. I mean, they got something going. They really do. Now, if they can keep, the big thing is they go home, and they've been on the road the whole time, and they go home, they might lose it. They really worked hard, and I have to say about Vancouver that they had the puck every goal. They had the puck and they gave it away. Can't blame Holtby. Oh, I thought Holtby played a pretty good game.
No, both the goalies. I mean, that game last night, that could have been 7 or 8. Yeah, Montreal's
got a. I don't know. They got something going. They're bigger. They're tougher. And Shea Weber, I still think he's the best defenseman in the whole league, as far as I'm concerned. He hits. He really hits. He scores. I mean, he does everything.
Yeah. And then what was
block
the next
shots.
Game? What was the next game you watched?
No, that was the last game.
No, then we watched Winnipeg, Ottawa.
And I'd have to say Winnipeg. You talk about a beautiful arena.
Yeah.
I mean,
they put a little thought into it.
Thought, and they had back of the Winnipeg bench, they have the logo. Just monstrous logo. So anyhow, the trade we should talk about is Pierre-Luc Dubois. Is that how you say it?
Yep.
Yeah. No, he only got 18 goals last year. I know he did pretty good in the playoffs and that, but Patty Lamine, he is if he thinks, as you said, Tim, if he thinks he's going to an easy place to play.
I know. I think he might be jumping from the frying pan into the fire with Tortorella.
Well, he benched Max. I mean, if you don't play a guy, Max Domi, if you don't play him, then he's benched.
So one period or
you bench a guy a whole period. You don't get on a period. He's benched no matter what you say. If you think you're going to an easy place with Tortorella, You better put out. Dubois, he benched the whole game.
Yeah. Funny thing is with that whole thing though is that you knew that Dubois wanted out of Columbus yeah. because of Tortorella, but I never really heard why the guy wanted out of Winnipeg.
Yeah, and Winnipeg's great spot. I mean, I used to like going there. I used to go to the Fairmont till they changed their sauna. And
we filmed the movie, the two movies we had, right, Tim? We went out there and we filmed most of it in Winnipeg. And I was out there too during the production. And you and I loved Winnipeg.
Oh, it was beautiful, yeah.
I remember we went through the older part, see the beautiful mansions with their stone mansions yeah. and the wraparound porches. And it was just, you know what? It was just the right, I always like, it was just the right size
like
for a
Rochester,
city.
Like Rochester, New York.
Like Rochester. You could go from one end to the other and, you know, you ask people for directions because, you know, it was before GPS. Everything was 15 minutes. Well, you go down 15 minutes. Everything just 15 minutes away. And that's a sign of what I like in a city. You can get around easy.
And they really had nice restaurants.
Oh my goodness! Their restaurants—they must be the restaurant capital of Canada per.
They are the slushy capital of the world.
Slushy. Oh, I love slushies.
The slushies. The 7-Eleven. You get a slushy. They sell more slushies than anywhere in the world.
But getting back to your question, I don't know why he wanted to leave. Because Maurice is easy to get along with. One of the best coaches. You know, he gets along with everybody. If you could get along with Buffalo and all those guys, you know. Yeah. And not say bad words about him. I just don't understand. Anyhow, I hope Dubois comes through. He's got a lot of pressure on him too because the people just loved Lalinne. He get two goals before he left.
Yeah, and then he got hurt, and yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how that all folds out. I think the big question is Lalinne going to be able to get along with Tortorella? Like with Tortorella. He must know that, okay, you know, some guys, you as you said, you knew how to, needed the whip, and some guys didn't need the whip.
I never saw Maurice ever put any pressure on him.
No.
Everybody else seems to play for him and seems to like him.
Yep. So that was good. And then we watched the Conor McGregor fight, and so we watched McGregor sail into, they were in the Middle East in Abu Dhabi. And
he was a big favorite.
He was a big favorite. And he sailed in with probably a $200 million yacht. And he drove in that Rolls Royce, was probably $1 million car. And Dad goes, I just can't see him being hungry like the other guys from Louisiana, right? He lost the last fight. So now he's, you know, the last fight with McGregor and... So you were going, I don't know, and then
I said he's not hungry, and you know I don't care what you say. For instance, Montreal is hungry. They want to win. They've been put down so long and everything. Montreal Canadiens are hungry.
So you think you can equate that to hockey, right? Like
you can tell. I can tell a hungry hockey club, and I can tell a nervous hockey club. Like Vancouver's nervous right now. They're nervous, and they've got a lot of injuries. Mm. They'll be better. But I could tell, love the story.
Is it a way they skate? Like, just give us a hint. Know, just there's got to be something. Like,
I can't tell you what it is.
They don't have a pep in their skating? Or?
Well, first of all, he never had a shirt and tie on. The first time he never had a shirt.
McGregor,
And he had his head shaved. In the weigh-in, you know, not in the weigh-in, but I says, he doesn't look right.
I think he won the first round. Like, it was close, but he probably won the first round. And then between the rounds, he was just...
standing there. He didn't care.
Didn't stand there. Took a drink of water. The guy's talking to him. He's like, yeah. But, and he, like, if you didn't see it, he didn't take a dive. I mean, he really got...
Oh, no, he got knocked out. But I could tell he wasn't hungry. And if you're not hungry, when you get in that ring, boy...
Yeah.
Other sports, you can float along. But in boxing,
you hesitate in that ring, right? I remember
reading about Jack Dempsey, who I must tell you the story about Jack Dempsey. But Estelle Taylor was an actress, and he was married to Estelle Taylor, and he lost to Gene Tunney. Lost to Gene Tunney, you know, and Gene Tunney couldn't punch his way out of a wet paper bag, and he was a Marine, and I think he was a good fighter, but he wasn't like Jack Dempsey. Jack Dempsey. And she said, Jack, how did you ever lose to a guy like Gene Tunney? And he said, you know, dear, it's tough to run at 5 o'clock in the morning in silk shorts. What he meant was he wasn't hungry.
Yeah.
Now, you had it one time in your, and you met him, didn't you, Jack Dempsey?
Oh, Jack Dempsey.
That was one of your biggest thrills, you
said. Oh, I go on about Jack Dempsey. I could go on. I'll tell you the whole story. They used to have a thing that in the Hickok Award. That's what they call it in Rochester. And I remember the whole team went there. They didn't American Hockey League. We were like, and we went there, and they had guys like Henny Youngman and Frank Sinatra. I mean, it was big time. It was really so. Joe Crozier, who was the general manager and coach, he was going to speak. But then he got there and he saw all these speakers and Henny Youngman's the only guy I've ever seen that speak that they were asking for mercy from laughing. We were in another room and guys were on the table laughing anyhow. So, and all of a sudden all these big speakers there and they were, Hickok Award, and they give a diamond belt. And Carl Yastrzemski at the time, I didn't even know how to say his name, Yastrzemski, so I said, so Joe come up to me, and I'd had a couple of beers, two or three beers, and because I didn't, you know, I was in the other room. And he says, you're speaking tonight. I said, I'm speaking, and I never spoke in my life
before.
Yeah,
this is in Rochester. You were a player.
I was a player.
Yeah. You were, yeah.
And he
bailed on you.
That he said, I'm not playing. I said,
what
I
a
can't.
Feeling.
I'm speaking after Henny Youngman and guys like that, and I didn't even know how to pronounce his name. So he says, you're speaking, and that's it. So what am I going to do? And he walks away. So they brought everybody to a green room. All the speakers and great speakers and everybody was up at the bar. I remember at the end, it was a long, long bar, and I was standing at the end sort of in the dark, the floater of floaters. Nobody even knew who I was or cared. And I'm just standing there looking and petrified. And the back door opened. I heard the back door open, and I thought it was just another guy. And guy come up and put his hand on my shoulder. It was Jack Dempsey.
Oh.
Jack Dempsey.
You just must have almost fainted.
I almost fainted. And I looked to the right, and he had a black suit on. He had a white shirt and a white tie. And he had black hair that slicked back. It was, you know, it was a style. And he had a great big cigar. He didn't even know what it was.
Didn't he ask you? He asked you.
Well, then he come up and he said, hi, son, how you doing? And I says, I could hardly speak, Jack. I knew who he was right away. He looked like the same. He was just beautiful.
Well, he looked like a movie star. Right?
Oh, but the big cigar and everything like that. And he was all tanned up, and, you know, been on Florida some. And he says, what is this? What he didn't even know.
He's in Rochester, New York. Like, where am I? What are we doing?
Yeah, you know, they brought him in and everything, and it was unbelievable. So well,
that's the second heavyweight champ you met. You met Joe Frazier.
Joe Frazier, I did. Yeah. I wasn't quite as enamored as they say. Yeah. Like, I could hardly speak. So he said, what is this? And I said, well, this is the Hickok Award, and whoever wins the Hickok Award. He said, well, I didn't, you know. He says, no, they've got a special thing for you. I hope you don't mind me saying, but they've got diamond cufflinks for you. He couldn't care less. So he says, well, he said, I said, can I, and now I'm speaking. I said, do you mind? I said, I know you did an exhibition tour. And I said, my dad was the second when you're in Kingston. And he said, oh yeah, I remember. And I don't think he ever remembered, but I remember, you know, didn't remember my dad, but he remembered the exhibition tour. And I couldn't think of anything more to say. And all the floaters at the front saw him in the back, eh? And then they turned around and they all, you know, Jack Dempsey was the, you know, Jack Dempsey. I mean, a lot of people don't know who Jack Dempsey was. I mean, Jack Dempsey was the greatest heavyweight of all time. And they all come and he says, and he saw them come and he says, well, goodbye, son.
It was over.
It was over. And boy, how did we get into Jack?
Well, Dempsey? I asked you. I said, you know, you were talking about, you know.
McGregor. I just knew he wasn't hungry. Yeah. And he just wasn't. And I knew he was going to lose. We should have done the betting on then. Could we done a betting then?
Yeah, I think it's right up to the start of the fight.
So. And he was a big, heavy favorite.
Yeah, he was, you had to lay a dollar, you had to lay $3 to get a buck, so he was a big favorite.
Yeah, and, but he just didn't look
well,
right.
You know, the whole thing was weird, too, is that he walked into the ring first, which is strange, because usually, like, the guy that's kind of, like, he's the main card, right? Not the, Dustin Poirier, whatever. Yeah. And then the other guy came in second, and then when they were announcing, they do the introductions, he was first, and you look, go, it's kind of like, why? Like, it's like he's kind of like the second ran in this, you know? So
yeah. I mean, he's got enough money. I'd hate to say anything, but he's got enough money.
Well, do they do that so that there'll be a third fight? Like, is that?
I know what I think happened. I think Dana White, he's the guy that owns UFC, he probably pulled his hair out. They wanted McGregor to fight the Russian Cabal. I don't know his last name. And he wants to come out of retirement, but. You know, now that
why isn't he
he fought and his dad trained him, the Russian Cabal. I can't pronounce his last name. His dad trained him since he was a little kid, and his father passed away after the McGregor fight.
Boy, he was,
and
a
he said he goes, my heart's not going back into the gym without my dad. So
boy, he was a mean guy.
Well, there's no way McGregor would be. I don't think there's anybody that would beat him.
No, I don't think anybody'd ever beat that guy.
So, but. And I said, the funny thing was that you were pretty good, because then we watched the fight before. It was a guy named Mike Chandler was fighting. It was an American. He was fighting a New Zealander, and he was a lot smaller.
Yeah.
And you said, Dad goes, he's going to knock him out. Watch. And he was. And again, he was the big underdog.
Oh, he was just a little guy.
A little guy. The other guy had
no tattoos.
No, had to be a foot taller. And boy, did he ever knock him out.
Oh, damn.
What's that? What's
the big Australian. I thought the Australian. You know, the big Australian with his flag in the back and everything, he didn't do anything.
What's that saying you always say, Dad? It's not the how big the dog is in the fight, but how big the fight is in the dog, right?
This guy, he was just a little guy.
Yeah, boy, did he ever knock him out. But I said the funny thing, we noticed that all the guys that were fighting in the main event, they'd touch gloves before they'd come out.
Yeah.
And then when they'd go out to, when they start to fight, then they touch gloves again, except for the women that fought.
Oh, yeah, the women. That.
They didn't touch gloves.
They hate... Boy, you talk about
viciousness.
Viciousness. They never let up.
Yeah. And I said, the funny thing was, I forget her name, but she was from Scotland. And she came with a Scotch flag, and she was fighting an American. And came with the American flag. And again, in Abu Dhabi, I guess they could have people in the arena. So they were all full of Irish. So I said, who would the Irish be rooting for? The Scotch, or would they be rooting for the American?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know, and it was full of Irishmen too. That's getting back to not the women again. How could a guy lose in front of all those Irishmen? And they were singing songs. They were I just don't understand it. He didn't seem, his heart wasn't in it, eh?
Yeah, I don't think so. No, and he as they say, he didn't take a dive.
He got knocked cold. But two women went at it, and
That was the best fight of the night.
Yeah.
They weren't
knocked out, but they should have been.
They didn't like each other, that's for sure. And so, Dad, what we said we were going to do was take some questions from Facebook and Twitter. We got an awful lot, so we just picked a couple of them. And one of the questions was, they were asking about a Boston Bruin player, Leo Labeen.
Leo the Lion, he's from they call him the Haley Berry Comet. I hate to tell you the other things they used to say about him. He reminded me of a little Irish elf. I mean, he wasn't that big. They said he was 5'10", but I don't think he was 5'10". And he walked. He was, you know, one of those guys that walk kind of funny, like jerky, like kind of jerk, jerk, jerk. And he skated the same way. He was an all-star in the NHL. He played 643 games pro. I wrote a few things down. 16-year pro, and he was with the Memorial Cup with Barry Flyers. The year before I came to Barry Flyers, and all we heard about was how great that team was. But he was Labeen. Leo Labeen, Cheverfis, and it was a lot of good players. Anyhow, I won. And I never saw a guy so irreverent. Irreverent, is that how you say?
Irreverent.
Something like that. Anyhow, he didn't care about he did not care about the bosses. Like, he would get Milt Schmick, heck. In the lobby, and he just didn't seem to care. He played in every professional league. He played in the OHA, naturally. We won the Memorial Cup. Yep. The American Hockey League, he played for Hershey Bears. And he played in the National Hockey League. He played for Detroit and Boston, mostly for Boston. WHA. He played near the end of his career. He played for the Los Angeles Blade. But he played in Sudbury, Ontario, in the EPHL. Now, people don't realize the Eastern Professional Hockey League, that was a great league. I played in that league for a year. I was sent there. And I played in Sudbury. I knew not when he was there, but EPHL, that was a great league. It had older players, but had all younger players. Boy, I think the Ottawa Hull team had 11 guys went to the National Hockey League the next year. He was tough. He was mean. He was Bobby Schmatz type guy, and he wasn't very big. He was always talking like the Irish big.
So he's like a Brian Marchman almost, kind of yapping?
Yeah, he was meaner. Yeah. Like he was a meaner guy. Yeah, he always yapping, and yeah, I never thought of that, Marchman. Trash talking, but the big thing, he was one of the first trash talker of all time. I remember reading in the paper, he said to Butch Bouchard, he says, you got 32 teeth. He says, you're going to try for 12? And he was always giving guys heck and everything. He used to say, get lost. And, you know, he was really something. He was a troublemaker. He was a troublemaker before a troublemaker. He settled in North Bay, and I think it was Carlingsville Creek. He was the representative. But the big, big thing, he was a hitter. He was really a hitter. And I remember I was in the American Hockey League, but I remember the time he hit Rocket Richard. They were in I think the semifinals. And he used to be like Scott Stevens. He'd come behind the defense, eh? And if you cut behind the defense, he'd nail you. And he really hit Rocket. And Rocket hit his head on the ice, and they carried him off. And Rocket's laying all bloody, and he's really cut really bad. And Dick Urban, the coach, said to him, "You okay?" He says, "I'm okay. Let me get back out there." And he scored the overtime goal to win. And there's a great pitcher, the best pitcher outside of Bobby Orr, flying across the net when he scored. It's a picture of Sugar Jim Henry with two black eyes. He got hit with the puck.
He's a goalie for the Bruins.
And they're shaking hands. And the Rocket is really, he really looks proud. He's really, with the blood running, streaming down, you know, and he's got a pack. It's a great picture. So the guy that hit him was Leo Labine. And he says, "I shouldn't have hit him. He got the winner." But he was he was a tough little guy, Leo Labine, the Haileybury Comet. And that's the first question.
Yep.
Okay, I have another question. This is from Trent. And he wants to know, what was it like? Well, it says here, what was it like playing for Trois-Rivières? But we knew it as Three Rivers, geez. Quebec, right?
They were the Lions.
Oh, I forgot.
Yes. Yeah. So first of all, what league, first of all, was it in?
It was in the EPHL.
Oh, it was. It wasn't the American.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, it was in. And I was sent out by Eddie Shore. And
what time of year would it have been?
Oh, it was Christmas Eve.
Yes.
Or around Christmas, anyhow. And I remember I'm going to tell the story again, is Pat Egan was the coach. He was a tough guy. He was really...
And he really didn't like you.
He really didn't like me. A lot of people didn't like me.
Yeah, when you come to think of it. Yeah, we could premise all like, well, he really didn't like you.
And I guess he didn't like me in later in life either. A lot of people didn't like me. And I remember we were practicing. I remember, like, and he was a tough guy. Like, and it was a scrimmage. Like, it was like the Black Aces. And I don't know, Brian Kilray, he was there. He was at the back ace too. And he come around, and Pat Egan come around with, I remember he had a red and black leather jacket on.
So he was sort of scrimmaging with you guys?
Yeah. Okay. It was like a east-west game. Something like that.
And he was
coming around. And I said, "This is my chance." I mean, imagine.
So you were lining up the coach.
I mean, I must have been nuts. Yep. He didn't like me, and I didn't like it. And he's coming around. Now, he's coming around with the puck. Now, I'm going to go hit him with the blue line. Remember about the blue line. He thinks, and I know what he's going to do. I know he's going to jump at the last minute like Guy LaRusso.
So he knew.
He didn't know that I knew that he was going to jump.
That's right.
Yep. Something like that. And he jumped at the last minute, and I just broke my stick. there was splinters. It was the wood, they wouldn't stick. Splinters all over the
place. So when he jumped, you cross-checked. No,
caught him. Right. Because I knew he was going to jump. And down he went, and bugger, he got up again, though. He was a tough guy. I got to admit, he got up. And Brian Kilray was on the ice, too. And Brian, you know, he told me later, what are you, nuts or something? So anyhow, the next day we have a practice, and I remember him coming out of the shower and going into his little room in the back, and he had a white robe on and flip-flops. He used to wear flip-flops all the time. And he came up, and he says, there's something for you, Mrs. Cherry, Mr. Cherry. He says, I think you'll enjoy this. Now, in the movie, it showed I got mad, but I didn't get mad. I just read the letter, and it said, you're going to Three Rivers, Quebec. I had no idea. So anyhow, I just threw the letter up, and that's gone. And I asked Eddie Shore. I don't know why. What did I ask him? I think it was Eddie Shore. I said, where's Three Rivers, Quebec? He says, you go through Connecticut, you go through Vermont, and you hit Canada, you turn right. He didn't care. He didn't care one bit or other. So I went home, and I told Rose. I said, Rose, we're going.
Pack up. Pack up.
Oh, yeah. I said, Rose, we're going to Three Rivers. She come from Hershey, PA. You know, that was a fair little lovely village and everything. And we're going to Three Rivers, Quebec. And I remember we were packing up, and she had a cardboard box. And we're saving half the ketchup and half the, you know, salt, and because we couldn't afford. So we got in the car. Imagine going, you know, as we're going to Three Rivers, Quebec.
Well, have to think about it, folks. Just think, Mom and Dad and me, I guess, and all my toys.
Oh, you were in the back.
We could fit everything that you guys needed into that you had into a new apartment. You could fit, not in a big SUV, in a car, and away we went. And that's why you had to save what was in the fridge that wouldn't spoil, mustard. Yeah. And things like that. I always remember in the back when you had that rod. Remember going from the back the thing?
Yeah, and I had clothes on each side.
And the clothes. And I used to play, when I had about, 2 feet, a little play area with my dolls. And that was it. And, of course, I was forbidden to say the awful words that all parents hear is, are we almost there?
Because I didn't know where we were.
There was no point in asking. And so when you think about that, folks, it really is amazing. Mom was, 4 years into her marriage, and off she's going to Quebec.
You know, we just go take her back, why she didn't want to go back to Hershey.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go on.
Because you had to be halfway through the season anyway,
probably,
right?
Probably turn into a
Christmas. You only had till the end of the season, and then you were going to go back.
3 months to go.
Yeah.
So anyhow, so I get there, and I'll never forget, I get lost at night. And as God is my judge, I remember we stopped and get gas about 10:30, and they were going to close it. They were going to close. And we were right in the middle of the French part. I mean, this is really French. This isn't like Montreal. This is right in the
Quebecois, they say.
Whatever. And I don't know. And the car wouldn't start. We got the gas, and it's sitting at the pumps. And I says, let's go in, you know. And I went in, and I said, okay, let's everybody say a prayer, you know. We all say a prayer that the car starts, honest to God. And went out, the car started. So I'm still lost, and it's at night. And I'm somehow or other, I got to a ferry. And I knew you had to cross the St. Lawrence River to get to Three Rivers. I knew it was over there somewhere.
You knew it was across the river.
And I knew you had to take a bridge, and I ended up with a ferry. And I never forgot. I was right beside the ferry captain was in the middle. Like, it wasn't like at the front or something. He was right in the middle. And I was parked, and I heard Dick Irvin and I heard Danny Galvin do the Montreal game. And I said, where did I go wrong? I was supposed to be, you know, I was supposed to be in the
You were supposed to be there, and you.
And here I am in the middle of the St. Lawrence, and have no idea where I am. And I got a wife and family. So anyhow, we finally made, I don't know how we did it, but we finally made Three Rivers, Quebec. Turn right, I guess. And so we go to a motel, and I go to the game. It's an afternoon game, and I had to play. So I said I'll be back. And so I went, and the guys, come on, you got to stop for one. There's, you know, they
after the game.
Yeah, after the game. I said, oh, I can't. I got to. Oh no, I'll stop for one. Well, one or two, you know. And I look at my watch. Holy smokes, you know. So now I said, I got to go, guys. And so I go, and I get back to the hotel, and you've been eating chocolate bars, sort of the thing.
Sounds good everything, to me.
And the hotel is closed because it's, I don't know.
I think Mom said it was Sunday. So everything was closed.
Yeah.
So Mom, you hadn't eaten in like 24 hours or something?
Well, nothing to eat.
But candy bars.
Candy bars. You didn't mind. You were happy.
Nope, I was happy.
So I just felt, I mean, I am.
Well, you should have.
I should have. I should have been smacked. And so anyhow, so I knew all the guys were going to Golden Rooster. So we went to Golden Rooster, and I give you a bunch of dimes. They had a one-armed bandit there. You were playing. You thought that was great. You were having a grand time. And I remember sitting up high. I don't know how I did it, but and your mother looked French. She was the, you know, she was dark, and she just looked, she fit right in with all
the
French.
She did fit in quite well. Didn't you said the wives were asking her a lot about Eddie Shore?
I didn't know. I don't remember.
Yeah, Mom was saying, she says, they kept asking about Eddie Shore. So I said, well, what'd you say with Eddie Shore? She said, well, first of all, he was a really good dancer. Remember? She said he used to dance with all the wives. But she says, oh, he was a good guy. She says, Don couldn't get along with him.
Yeah, imagine that. So I was the bad guy. No, and I remember our eyes met. And I thought, you know, to not to be a whiner and, you know, I hear the wives now. They go from one.
A guy like Lanny that's making about $8 million a year wants to get traded out of Winnipeg because we don't know why. So, anyway.
Jeez, I'm making $4,500 and I'm happy as pig in mud. And so anyhow.
But you were saying with the one thing I couldn't believe with the fans in the.
Oh, they were great fans.
Great fans. But what was they did one thing that nobody would believe.
Hard to believe, and I told you, if you had a good shift, you got a goal, it'd be a great goal, they'd send down $2 bills. It was the $2 bills back in those days.
So they tip you?
Well, it wasn't a tip. It was just to show appreciation.
A reward.
And the guy that used to win it a lot was a guy named Dino Moscato. Dino Moscato was a defenseman, too, but he was a colorful guy. Eh? And I remember Dino, he used to have this is hard to believe, too. But in the back of pants, they used to have a pocket. Nobody ever used the pocket. It was just, you know, just automatic. It was there.
But you said in the old days, would they put...
Yeah. In the old days, they had it. You wiped the sweat off your face.
They had a handkerchief.
Handkerchief back there. And he used to wear a big red handkerchief hanging out the back. And he was really a colorful guy. They loved him there. And...
So like once or twice a game, they'd give you...
About three to four times a game. The fans would hand... They'd hand you $2 bills. I never got it, but the other guys.
That's just unbelievable. No
I know. I mean, that does sound like it. You know, and showed appreciation. And don't think we didn't want it. Dino was a cheap guy, eh?
Was he the one that got mad at his wife because Mom found?
No. Yeah, they were standing outside, were standing in the dark. You remember that, Cindy?
Yeah. Well,
and she looked down, and she saw a $10 bill.
Mom found a $10 bill.
Look, in a mall of garbage and everything on the floor.
Waiting for you after a game.
Wait, with all the wives, and Dino got mad. He got mad at his wife. Oh, you couldn't have found it. He was a cheap guy.
Yeah.
Well, like we had fun in Three Rivers. I remember the babysitter. I could speak
you
really
could speak
well
French, yeah.
Right? Because she used to teach me.
George T. Bull's wife. Yeah.
Yeah, and she used to
downstairs.
Do all her, she used to read to me all the nursery rhymes and bedtime stories were all in French. And sometimes I can remember Mom asking me, ask them how much and all this. And I would, you know.
Yeah, you could speak French.
And all this. Because she had a problem with, she didn't know French, as she learned when she went to the beauty parlor to get her hair
done. Oh, yeah, tell us that story. That's a good story.
Well, she tells the story. She goes to get her hair. Mom always had, you know, a beautiful, you know, longer black hair. So she went to the beauty parlor. And, of course, they don't speak English. So she, you know, showed her fingers, you know, leave, you know, take this much off, like, showing her with her fingers.
So, like, what, about an inch or so?
About an inch and a half, which is what she wanted to be taken off. And they thought that that's what... how much she wanted to be left on, so they cut all her hair off.
And I come home. I remember I coming home, like I was in shock. I couldn't believe, and you know, I should
just
have
what
said,
a woman wants when your
no,
husband
I should
comes
have said,
home.
Oh boy, you look
oh,
good.
Oh, isn't that? Oh
and
my
I started
gosh,
to laugh.
What happened? Oh, you started to laugh.
But it was one of those pixie, and you know, it had, and that was the style.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
now she really style. Looked French.
And she did.
Yeah, and she had the French haircut and. Yeah, I had a lot of fun, and I didn't want to go back. I had a lot of fun.
Because what happened after Three Rivers? Where'd you go?
Well, we got to go. I had to go back to Springfield. They won
you
the championship. I had to go back.
They traded you back.
No, I was on loan. They didn't. Oh. I was just sent there because I was a bad guy. So I went back, and I played, and I don't count that as
Didn't you say that there was only one night a week that there was a English.
Oh yeah,
there was an English. There was an English,
and it was on at 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, there was only one show once a week that was English.
It was one of those horror shows. You know, like
well, I can no, I can remember for kids. Yeah. We only had one channel, and there was only two shows. Dad, remember I could watch on TV. One was Bill and Ben, Flower Pot Men,
yeah.
And the Friendly Giant.
Those were the two.
I mean, I lived for those two shows. I mean, when you're a kid,
I was in Sudbury. You were just starting to.
And then you said that mom. I remember you always talk about Three Rivers. Mom used to make chicken backs,
and we'd get Chinese food, and the bus. We were so close to the road. The bus would say, you know, would idle there, and when it would idle, it'd make the TV go funny. But we used to, and we could hardly, you know, it was all hazy and. And I remember we had a party there one time at our house, you know, stupidity. And all the players showed up with the wives and everything, and drink beer. Oh my goodness, the table the apartment was like the bedroom was about as small as they used to sleep on the floor, and the kitchen was like a monster, and then we had the thing off the side, and I remember we had a party and the player Two of the linesmen and that, they showed up with French, you know, girls and that, and the guys knew, and the wives knew this guy was married. Put a damper on the whole party, I'll tell you that.
So I can remember cleaning up after I was a little girl and mom putting the beer bottles.
Remember the time you wouldn't eat your breakfast?
Oh, was that there?
Yeah, that was there.
Oh, was that there? Yeah, I was.
Yeah, and I said, and I remember your mother saying, you say something to that Cindy. She hasn't touched, and she hasn't touched her breakfast, and you touched it.
I put my finger
right
into the egg yolk.
You said, I touched it.
I touched it.
So I got to go to practice. So I sent you to the washroom or something.
No, you whacked my bottom and sent me to the corner.
Oh, and I don't know.
And then I had to come back. You're going to eat it? No. Are you going to eat it? No. So now poor dad is now, he's got to go to practice. It's a standoff. And I can remember crying, and I was crying, and I was wiping the tears. And I remember putting my tears on, they had wallpaper. So I put my tears on the wallpaper. Then I started to pick.
Oh, jeez.
I used to pick the wallpaper.
Well, I remember one time we were going out drinking. An awful thing. I must have been a lousy guy. And I remember seeing you. And you had a blue suit on, and you used to have
a blue suit
on. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, going out to drinking, and then you're on the veranda.
You drove by.
I drove by.
You drove by going to the bar.
Sort of put a damper on things, I'll tell you that.
Okay, Dad, so we're going to do maybe one more question. And this is from a guy named Ryan, and I think he was on Twitter. It says, if Bobby Orr stayed in Boston in 1976, how does that prolong his career playing with the crew you had, or were his knees not going to allow him to continue to play?
Well, Bobby doesn't know this because you don't like to talk about things like that. And I never told this story before, but I would have him, someday we must go into the, you know, how we got traded and everything like that. Yeah. But I would have him take a regular shift, and then I would have him play the power play, but I would never have him kill penalties because he used to block shots. He wouldn't take it easy on his knees. And boy, I'll tell you, when I had him, I remember the very first game I remember the very first game in Vancouver. I'll go through the whole thing, but I'll remember the very first game. We lost 5-3. I'll never forgot it. And Harry phoned me after the game. He says,
"So this was after the big trade with Brad Park."
It was the big trade, yeah. And I'll go through that whole thing, but someday. And Harry, I remember Harry phoned me. He says, "I says Harry, we lost 5-3." Holy jump! He said. I said, but I saw something magic there. I said, there's something magic. I said, just give it a try. He says, well, you better win the next game. He said, or we'll both be gone. And I think it was California went in. I think we won 9 out of the next 10. I don't think we'd ever lost a game. We would have beat Canadians with it. So what happened was, Park would get on the left side. Park was a right hand. He was a left hand shot, but he played on the right side all the time. Mm-hmm. And he played on the left side with Bobby. They worked it out. I didn't tell him to do it. They worked it out themselves. And he just feathered that. He feathered that pass over. And Bobby would be waiting there, you know, at the blue line. And he just put it in. And would it ever go? And I remember Cesar Maniego said it's like having two cannons. Because Park had a good shot from the point, too. And I remember it was so sad. And you're going to say, well, what happened? And I remember the game in New York Rangers. We lost the game. Or we won the game. So what am I talking about? And Bobby got 2 goals and assists or something like that. And I remember him walking down that funnel, or tunnel.
Like a ramp, yeah.
Yeah, and it had cobblestone rocks on it or something. You know, so the buses could get up. I should have had that bus come up, but the bus never come up. And he got on after the game, and I said, geez, I said, Bobby, you're limping. He says, yeah, I never. And if you've ever had a knee problem, going up, you're all right. Going down, you can't.
Walk it down.
Yeah, you walk down, and he was never the same. But getting back to the question, how I would have treated him, we would have protected him, first of all, which would have been because, and you know, Bobby doesn't like to hear it, but he used to get whacked pretty good.
Yeah, that's one thing, too. Like, if you watch some of the old clips.
Mary get hit it.
Like, you look at guys, like, hit them, stick their knee out, and you look and you go, like, and not too much would happen.
Nothing would happen to the
guy.
Well,
look at that hit with Pat Quinn.
Well, there was a big brawl after that one.
Can't do that with Pat Quinn.
Yeah.
But I remember he used to get hit at center ice. He used to get hit, you know, because he did a lot of deacon and dive with our club. And
didn't they have tough guys before you?
They had one
you?
Tough guy, Ted Green. He never did anything. Nobody did anything, and I would have protected him.
Well,
or no, I wouldn't have protected him. I was the bravest guy in the world behind the bench.
Yeah, well, because when John Rattel was there, that was the word out. If you touch Rattel,
yeah,
you're dead.
Yeah,
and the same thing with Orr. He would have taken a regular shift. He would have played the power play. He wouldn't have killed penalties, and we would have protected him. So that's answer the question right there. And he could have played another 2 or 3 years. Right. And
well, we told the story too that, you know, if you might have been able to get Rod Langway, but you drafted another goalie, and you would have gotten Ray Bourque. So you would have had Park or Langway and Bourque.
Even I couldn't have screwed that one up. So. Okay, folks, that's it for today. I've gone long enough, and there's a lot of stories in there we should have told, but. We'll expand, and we're having a lot of fun, and this is a lot. I have a lot of fun doing this, I'll tell you that.